Science. Learning. Business. Community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello, and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week, I want to talk about something that is very close to my heart. I'm going to spend the next half hour or so talking to you about a condition called functioning neurological disorder. Now, it's close to my heart because for the last nearly 12 years, I've been suffering from the effects of FND, to give it its short term. And what I need to point out within that is it took nearly 10 years, unfortunately, to get a diagnosis. And what's really, really astounding is that when I finally did get a diagnosis, and I've had this conversation then with a couple of experts since, 10 years is not uncommon before it is diagnosed. And there's lots of reasons for that. So the reason for this podcast really is to explain to someone who may be going through or may know someone who's going through some very strange symptoms that are proving really difficult to have a proper diagnosis made, and to help you or the person that you know understand what their condition is and also how to go about talking to the medical profession so you can circumvent the 10 years that I had to go through. And the reason why that's important is because the longer a FND condition is holding sway, basically, over your mind and your body, then the harder it is to start to reverse some of the symptoms. So this title, the title that I have for this episode, is When Your Brain Betrays You. And the reason for this is because at the heart of what FND is exactly that concept. The brain and the body are not communicating properly, and therefore this is causing issues and symptoms that may not be a physical cause for that symptom, but it is just as real as if you did have a physical cause. So I'm going to break this down. I'm going to start talking about my journey initially of when these symptoms started, what kind of symptoms I was experiencing, how I didn't get any traction with the medical profession and why that is. And then hopefully, if you are someone or you do know someone who's suffering from any of these kind of symptoms I'm going to mention, then it will help you do the journey that took me nearly 10 years and then another couple of years before the treatment started to cut that right back and get in there as quickly as you can. Or if you are someone like me who's been sat around waiting for some kind of diagnosis or medical fix because you don't know what's really going on and your GP doesn't know what's going on and you've been experiencing that for years, at least this will give you the platform for you to go forward and make sure you get on the right treatment path. Now, you might think it's strange that I talk about the brain in a way being separate from you as a conscious entity and that it does what it does. So let me give you some examples of when the brain just reacts in a way that you're not consciously aware of, and yet it can be quite damaging. So let's say you've been in a relationship and you've been hurt in a relationship. Someone maybe have been unfaithful to you, let's say. So you then get into a new relationship and everything is going great and you love this person and you feel that this person loves you. And then all of a sudden, you'll just pick a fight for no reason. It could be something really minor that set you off, or it could just be you just feel in a really bad mood with that person all of a sudden and you have a fight. And then afterwards you think, I don't even know what I was fighting for. That is your brain, your subconscious, thinking, oh, this is going really well. I'm getting really happy. I'm very, very much in love with this person. But what if they leave me? What if they do the same as the last person did? I'd better actually get in there first with a preemptive strike, or at least to see how strong her or his feelings are for me. Now, you haven't consciously thought that. You haven't sat down and thought, I'm going to come up with a way to test to see if this person is reliable or not. Your brain has just come up with that strategy subconsciously and then made you act out that subconscious pattern and routine. Now, it's just it just beggars belief, really, when you start to think about just how many things. So having given you that example, one of the things that you could do is actually in a journal, and you have listened to my podcast on journaling, haven't you? Please do if you haven't, because a journal will really help you with this whole FND management, diagnosis, treatment path, everything. Because you can capture in your journal your symptoms, when, how, what they are. You can then start to write out possible causes of the FND in the first place by analysing your past and seeing what kind of stresses you've been under, what kind of traumas you've had. And yeah, even any little minor accidents, like the one I had, it wasn't minor at the time, but the one that I had to my neck could be part of the cause for me. We don't know that as yet because we're still going through all the process with the consultant that I'm currently dealing with. But it might be. So get all that information down into a journal. It's really important. But what I would really encourage you to do before you start that piece of work is to write down in your journal times when you have acted really oddly and you couldn't quite put your finger on why you have. Whether it's you've picked a fight with someone or you've just been in a bad mood because for some reason you just suddenly flipped into a bad mood. And then analyse, A, what the outburst was. Analyse what you were thinking at the time. And then try to work backwards and find out where that initial feeling may have come from or why you suddenly flipped into a bad mood. Did you hear a piece of music that reminded you of something in the past or even a smell? It's just unbelievable how the brain will just suddenly go into complete fight or flight mode and you're not even aware of why you're wanting to fight or fly. It's just really bizarre. So please do that exercise. I really heartily recommend you do it in your journal because it'll be good fun for you in ways that it's good fun to always identify where your certain responses come from, because then you can start to deal with them and become a better person going forward. But part of that exercise will also help you then start to journal the reasons behind and the symptoms that are being manifested and the patterns that you're having and the cycles with FND, so that when you do sit down with a medical professional who's got expertise in this field, or even to try and get onto the correct pathway and you're in front of your GP, you can take that and say, look, this is what I'm going through. This is what I've read about. This is the podcast that I've heard. I would like to be sent to see if I have got a functioning neurological disorder. And if not, A, we've ruled it out, but B, if it is, it circumvents this 10-year wait that this poor guy, me, went through. So I hope you found that little bit a bit interesting. But let's go back to what we were talking about now about FND itself. So what is FND, or functioning neurological disorder, which I'm going to call FND going forward throughout the rest of this episode. FND is a condition where patients exhibit neurological symptoms such as limb weakness, seizures, sensory issues, without a structural neurological disease actually being present. Now, apart from the symptoms I've just mentioned, you could also have a lot of the symptoms mimic other neurological conditions. So you could have tremors, you could have paralysis, you could have gait issues, you could have non-epileptic seizures, you could have dizziness. You could find your mobility is restricted. You could find that you're in pain constantly in parts of your body where you haven't really got an injury, but you are just in so much pain. And you could have dizziness, weak legs, just so many different things that FND can cause. And this was my journey and what happened to me. And I had all these kind of issues. And it started about 12 years ago. Now, I just launched my business. I was going pretty well, actually, for a startup business. I had a couple of clients on retainer. I was involved in developing or starting a proposal, shall we say, to develop a couple of very large education and learning projects. And I had a book that was coming out. Everything was going well. And then one morning, I woke up and I just found it really difficult to move. I managed to get out of bed. I just put it down to the fact that I laid on a nerve or just odd you know, just done something funny in my sleep and put it to the back of my mind. But I felt really lethargic for the rest of the day. And that went on for a good few weeks. I just had nothing in the tank. I couldn't explain it. I was tired. I was very weak-limbed, if that makes sense. It was like almost as if I had slept on my arm and it was still suffering a little bit from the lack of blood supply. And then it eased and it went away and that was fine. And then other symptoms started to appear gradually over the next year. And they really derailed me because I found that it was getting harder and harder to actually get comfortable at night. It was harder and harder to feel refreshed when I woke up. I had bouts of dizziness. I found I was very clumsy all of a sudden. And I've never been the most capable person when it comes to not being clumsy. But it went through the roof. I found it. I was knocking things over when I was reaching for them more. When I was holding something, I would drop it much more as well. And this went on for quite a while. And it started to actually, you know, and I did what everyone would do. I went to the doctors and said, look, doc, I'm not sure what's going on, but I just feel like my body is not working the way it should be. And that kind of discussion went on with GPs and with, I was sent for various scans, etc. And they couldn't find anything wrong, but I was having these issues. And that went on for years. It actually led to, it put a real strain on my mental health, as you can imagine, because it just got to the point where there were days I could not function. I just felt completely beaten and useless. And I ended up getting into a whole range of different issues, including because I had bone spurs on my hips growing, which were causing a lot of pain and the mobility issues. Initially, a lot of the issues I was having were put down to that. And so I had the injections into my hip bones and everything would be fine for a little while. The other symptoms were still be there, like the occasional dizziness and walking into things and the lethargicness, but at least I could move again. But it kind of, because the medical profession is so focused on its own discipline within the medical profession, they always try to say, well, you're getting that symptom because of this, instead of looking at the holistic set of symptoms that I'd started to exhibit. Now, the key ones at this time were, as I say, the dizziness, really bad pressure headaches, which were put down to an accident that I had had, which had done some damage to my neck, but also, and also the hips. So they were kind of working on the assumption that all these symptoms I were having were down to the physical injury and the bone spurs. And that held up further exploration, really. I had brain scans and they didn't show anything, and that is the problem, because FND doesn't show up as a rule on a brain scan. So where did that lead me? It led me to the point where I just couldn't work. I had to pull back from the work I was doing because I couldn't turn up for meetings some days, or I couldn't commit to going in. I couldn't say, right then, XYZ company, I'm going to come in and train your staff for 3 days next week, because I didn't know what I was going to be like in that 3 day period next week. It affected me so much on so many levels. I kind of kept everything ticking over. I did what I could, but the actual flying start that I initially got on my business came to a grounding halt, as you can probably imagine. And so I ended up with these kind of symptoms that were holding me back, weren't getting a proper diagnosis, and that went on for years. And then about 4 years ago, one Christmas morning, got out of bed, and my legs just stopped working completely. I just went down like a sack of potatoes, and then the pain that I felt was intense. I can't even explain it to you just how bad it was. And this began a period of about 6 months where I was rushed into hospital. with, amongst other things, a suspected heart attack. I didn't have a heart attack. A suspected stroke. I didn't have a stroke. Suspected COVID. I didn't have COVID. And then finally, I always get the pronunciation of this wrong, but I think it's cauda equina syndrome, which is where basically you have pressure on nerves in the base of your spine from discs and what have you. And it was during the examinations that I was having that it was also discovered at some point in the past, I'd actually fractured my spine which had healed, but there was some damage to the discs. Now, all that aside, so again, I was kind of, oh, you haven't got this syndrome, but you have got some damage to your spine at the bottom, you've got some damage to your neck at the top, and therefore we think all these other symptoms are kind of related to that. So then spent another year of being tested for various things that weren't really part of what functioning neurological disorder is. Now, have you lost the will to live yet? Because as you can imagine, I'm now 8 years into this kind of, what is going on? I don't understand. And it got to the point, I think I'd started this discussion right at the start. I'd actually said to my GP, I don't think my body is working properly. And that adapted over the years that I was having the treatment into, I don't think my brain and my body are communicating properly. Now, the biggest example of that was I started to get really bad palpitations, where literally my heart would beat right out my chest so loud people could actually hear it. It was just bang, bang, bang. It was frightening. Just nothing ever happened. So I'd have that. It would then settle down. I'd feel a bit tired. I had heart scans and everything. I couldn't find anything wrong with my heart. But I just got used to having these palpitations over a couple of years, 2 or 3 years. And then one day I went up to my GP's because I was due a regular blood test. And I went up for the blood test, and while I'm there they were doing other scans, and suddenly the nurse that was doing one of the tests said, can you just stay there for a minute, Mr. Smithson, I need to go and get the GP. The GP came in, looked at the scan results, did some more tests and said, right, I'm calling an ambulance because we think you're having a heart attack. Now, I tried to explain that I've been having these kind of palpitations on and off for a few years, but they still decided that I needed to go in and to hospital and everything else. So I went to hospital. Again, I had all the scans. Nothing showed up. There was no physical reason why I was having these palpitations. And then I started to know there was a cycle. Now, the cycle was I would have 4 to 6 weeks of a cycle of symptoms. And they weren't necessarily always in the same order, but it was the same symptoms. And basically what happened within that, I would start with the dizziness and the clumsiness. I would get the skin itching like it was, I wanted to tear the skin off. I would have the palpitations. I would have some toilet issues, which I'm going to spare you from discussing in this, but let's put it this way, it didn't do my confidence about going out any good. And I had, what other symptoms did I have? I had the gait problem. I had an odd kind of stutter in my walk. I had the walking into door frames. I had the headaches and I had the dizziness. So all these symptoms in this kind of cycle for 4 to 6 weeks. And then I'd have 2 or 3 weeks where everything seemed absolutely fine and there was nothing wrong with me. And so people will know, if you follow me for quite some time, you will know that every now and again I would try and relaunch the business because I'd get to a period where everything was stable and I was feeling okay. And I think, you know what, let's get this business back up and running. And then I'd get 2 months in and then I'd have to really just put the brakes on again because suddenly I couldn't function. So we had all this kind of stuff going on. And every meeting then that I started to have with every doctor, every nurse, every consultant, every medical practitioner ever, I always said the same words. I don't think my brain and my body are communicating. Now, I didn't know anything about FND at the time. I was starting to get worried that I might have something like Parkinson's, but scans showed that there was no sign of anything like that going on in my brain. And it just got to the point where it was like, what is going on? And I really started to doubt my own sanity. I even started to think, am I just imagining this? Is it just some, am I just imagining these symptoms and making them come real? And you can imagine the state I was in. And then what happened was, I can't remember exactly who did the initial referral, but I'd been ping-ponged from department to department, GP back to hospital, hospital back to GP, just, you know, musculoskeletal, everything. I do remember what happened. I actually got through to Dawn, who's a MSK therapist at Sheffield Training Hospital at Royal Hallamshire, and she put me on a different path. She actually recommended that I went to see a particular consultant at Sheffield, which I did. Now, this consultant prodded and poked and bent and for an hour just literally put me through all kinds of different tests, which I won't repeat for you. And then she sat me down. She said, right then, Mr. Smithson, what do you think is wrong with you? So I said, I said, doctor, I said, I say this to everyone in the medical profession that I've met now for years and years and years. I've said, I don't think my brain and my body are communicating with one another. And she turned and looked at me. She said, you're absolutely right. And I burst into tears. It had taken almost 10 years. And you can probably hear the emotion in my voice right now, even just remembering that and getting to that point. So she turned out to be one of the few functioning neurological disorder experts in the country. And therefore, I finally had a diagnosis. And I wasn't going mad. I wasn't going insane. And it had caused or exaggerated. And this is the key thing about FND, because it's confused, because the brain and the body send confused signals back and forth. Any issue that I was having, say with the damage I did to my neck in the accident that I had, any issues like that were being exaggerated because the brain was saying, I don't really know what's going on, but there's some pain there, therefore I need to send a signal to say there's something going on, it's dangerous, you know, do something, get some treatment, whatever, how the brain works. And it's basically, it just didn't know what to do. And my body didn't know how to interpret the signals it was getting. So my brain and body were basically fighting one another to try and actually understand what the other one was saying. It was like, you know, when you see a old British sitcom where you've got an Englishman and a Frenchman and one's talking French. And so the Englishman speaks pidgin French. Pidgin English, and then because the Frenchman isn't understanding him, speaks louder as though that's going to make the understanding any better. And that's what was going on. So that's my journey to this point. Now, I have finally started my treatment because of COVID and the NHS backlog and everything. I've only started my treatment this year. It's weekly. It's going really well. I'm not at the point yet where I've even started to touch upon the actual symptom reversal side of things. But at least I'm getting a better understanding of the root causes of FND and where it's come from. And the expert that I'm working with is absolutely brilliant. So that's the end of that part. Hopefully it will have resonated with some of you because either you are going through or have gone through similar issues or you know someone who is, and that's the whole point of what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to get people to understand that there is an issue and it does need dealing with, but you don't know what the issue is. So for the next part, what I want to talk about really is the whole idea of why FND is, what causes it. Now, sometimes it can be a minor or serious injury that you've had that could cause a physical trauma that causes a reaction with the brain. But more often than not, FND is caused by stress and trauma. And the brain, and by trauma, I mean emotional trauma. And so the brain misinterprets the signals that it's getting and creates a whole new kind of thinking and reasoning, and that's what causes or starts to cause the FND to take hold. The problem with that is, and this is why it's often misunderstood or misdiagnosed, is your brain isn't physically damaged. There is no sign of disease. There are no damaged areas of the brain to show up on a traditional scan. It just is that your brain is not functioning correctly. Now, I'm going to give you an analogy which I think explains this really well. But you have to be someone who knows what a vinyl record is. So if you're under 20, you probably don't. But basically, if you remember, for those of you who have got vinyl still in your collections or remember what vinyl was, a vinyl record was basically a round disc which had grooves, which the needle would follow, which had the coding on for the music that the record player would then play. And all was well and good, apart from we all know how easy vinyl was to scratch or to get a little bit of dirt in there and the needle would jump or the needle would stick or the needle would do both on some cases. And that would ruin the song that you were listening to and in some cases the entire album. So if you imagine, as I said, that your brain is a piece of vinyl and it's got the grooves in and everything's smooth and all those grooves are basically the way that the brain traditionally would, or ideally would, communicate between itself and all the other organs in your body and your conscious thoughts and your unconscious thoughts and your subconscious and the unconscious management of your body, so your heartbeat, your breathing, your blood regulation, everything. All that's great, but then FND comes along. You have some kind of really stressful time or in my case, I had a combination of stresses and emotional distresses and also the physical accident, all happening more or less at the same time. And the impact of that made those grooves get scratches and the needle jump. So the brain start, instead of having a nice, easy, smooth signal from brain to body about any particular aspect, it was getting stuck. And if it was getting stuck, it had to work out new ways to try and get the message through or to receive a message from the body. Or it jumped, so it wasn't doing the smooth communication between brain and body. It was jumping bits, and so information was missing. And that's the way to look at it. So FND basically disrupts your vinyl, your internal vinyl. It those grooves, those neural pathways get damaged and rerouted, or they get overwritten with neural pathways that aren't exactly ideal and don't really serve you, but it serves the brain in getting a message out. And that's why we titled this episode When Your Brain Betrays You, because here's what you need to understand about the brain. Everyone thinks that the brain is part of your identity, it's part of your body, and it's on your side. It's not. The brain is on the brain side. And this is why the power of the subconscious and the unconscious thought is so powerful on the human psyche, because the brain will do what the brain thinks it's right to do. And no amount of conscious thinking that, hey brain, you know, please don't send those itching commands to me that drive me absolutely bonkers and I just want to tear my skin off, because there's nothing actually causing that, it's just your internal sensory overload. You can consciously think that all you want, but the brain unconsciously and subconsciously on some levels is trying to work out what's going on and is sending or trying to receive signals in a way that isn't ideal to you, but the brain has decided that that's the way it's going to do it. So in effect, FND can be linked to the way our brain does process stress and traumas. The unconscious and subconscious mind can sometimes create a conflict then within the body that manifests physically. In other words, an emotional trauma or a period of significant stress, sometimes even minor injuries, the brain reacts to psychological pain as though it were a physical injury, which is why I was having all these issues with pain was just so intense. My legs would stop working. My dizziness and my clumsiness were all because the brain was reacting, or I'd reacted to all the stress that I'd been through, and it basically converted that into a physical reality because it couldn't cope with the way it was interpreting the initial stress and trauma. Now, I've mentioned emotional trauma and particular stressful periods being a primary cause of FND, and I'll just explain what that could include. So it could be that you are having a really bad time at work, you've got a lot of pressure on you, you're working in an environment that is not very healthy, shall we say, in terms of the demands on you, in terms of how many hours you have to work, and your bosses are particularly, shall we say, corporate sociopathic, then that in itself can lead to FND symptoms progressing. Also, if you go through something distressing like a divorce, for example, a painful divorce or any kind of tragic loss, that can also be a cause of FND developing. So it's basically a whole wide range of different things, even impacts that you've had in your life that you haven't even particularly thought were a big deal, and you've dealt with them, can come back and be part of the problem. So in my case, I had the accident, obviously, but before that, I also went to bed one night with a headache and woke up effectively blind in my left eye, and about 2 weeks later, my right eye followed suit, and I basically developed cataracts that had grown very, very big, very, very quickly, even at such a young age. And so the operation that I had on the cataracts wasn't particularly successful, shall we say, and it took a good couple of years before I got about 85-90% of my sight back. But the damage was done. Mentally, I'd become a bit of a hermit. I couldn't face doing anything, couldn't face going out, didn't want to mix with people, and I just basically got to that point where it was just absolutely awful for me to even think about doing anything other than staying in my room. Good year after, probably 18 months after, I got back on the, working again and launched my business and everything was going well, that the symptoms started then to appear. And as we say, we went through that whole journey and it was a nightmare until I finally got diagnosed. But what I'm trying to get across to you is there are things that could have happened in your past and it doesn't automatically create the FND then and there. It could take time for that groove on that scratch on your record to get to the point where it's really causing a disruption in the way that your brain and your body communicate. So the first step when you do finally get treatment is to start to explore where the FND has its root causes, which is not necessarily an easy job to do. Now, one of the biggest problems, therefore, with FND is getting that accurate diagnosis. As I say, I went almost 10 years before I got a diagnosis, and many people go years and years as well. It's very, very uncommon for someone to get a diagnosis of FND, especially in the UK, within a 3 years. Let's say it takes a long time. Now, there are some reasons why this is so, and why FND gets unrecognized, and why there are substantial delays in diagnosis. Now, one of these is the lack of education and training in the medical curriculum about what FND is. Problem is because a lot of people start to look at FND or the symptoms that FND is causing, and they misdiagnose it as some kind of other neurological disease. As I said, Parkinson's is quite often mentioned, for example. And so you go down a treatment route, or you go down an investigation route, and you get so far down that route, and then they discover, oh, it's not that. There's nothing. The brain's scans have come back, and there's no indication of Parkinson's. So then you have to go for another test, and another test, and another test, because they're trying to find a physical reason for the symptoms that you are having. Which is, when you think about it, if you are someone who suddenly is getting palpitations that are beating out your chest and there's nothing you can do that seems to manage that, and they just come out from out the blue, then the automatic response from any GP or consultant is, oh, you might have SVT, or you might be having a heart attack, or you might have heart disease. So then you go down that route, which is all the routes that I went down. You have got a damaged spine, and therefore you're having these mobility issues, and you're having this clumsiness, and that's down to your damaged spine. So I went down all that route, and so on and so on. And that's how it goes, because don't get me wrong, all the doctors I saw, all had my best interests at heart. They just didn't know what FND was. And that was the biggest problem. The lack of education in the medical system about functioning neurological disorder and how to spot it and diagnose it is not something that is really great on the medical curriculum for general practitioners. And even with consultants, with physiotherapists, with neuroscientists and everything else, the actual non-physical reason for a disorder that gives physical manifestation of symptoms proves really, really difficult. Now, this adds to the diagnostic complexity, because if you are having symptom overlap with other neurological and psychiatric conditions like epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, conversion disorder, Parkinson's, as we mentioned, it means that you get a lengthy process while they're ruling out all these other possible conditions. And because the symptoms of FND can be very diverse and fluctuate. I mean, look at my 4 to 6 week cycle of symptoms, and then a few weeks off, and then starting again. It makes it really hard because there's no consistent pattern, it doesn't seem. I mean, remember, I'd gone through this cycle of symptoms for a good 18 months to 2 years before even I recognized there was a cycle that was happening. And as soon as one of those symptoms began, I knew I was going to have 4 to 6 weeks of experiencing that and the other symptoms, and then I'd have a few weeks off. But it took almost 2 years for even me, who was going through it, to recognize that I had a cycle of symptoms. There's an historical stigma against FND as well, because it used to, I mean, because there is no physical trauma, there is no brain scan that shows you've got scarring on the brain. It tended to be labelled as hysteria or psychosomatic, and it had all those kind of negative connotations. And that really affects both the doctor's perception of what's going on, but it also affects yours as the patient, because I got to the stage where I was thinking, am I imagining all this? Is it just in my head? And the answer is very firmly, no. You talk to any neurological expert and they will tell you very clearly, no, this is a real condition and the effects are real. It's just that there isn't a physical cause as such for why you're experiencing the condition. The biggest problem that I also found with the medical profession is that they do not want to do the holistic approach. Our health system here in the UK, and I suspect it's the same in most countries around the world, is very much based on sticky plaster approach and very much in their disciplines. And what they absolutely do not do is look at the mind and body together. So I will go and see the neurological team about my neck injury, but I would try and explain that the problems were in my body and my brain, not talking, but they were only interested in the physical damage that they could see in my neck. Or I'd go to see the heart guy, and he would say, we can't find anything wrong with your heart, therefore we think it's SVT and we're going to put you on a pill. And I say, I don't think it's that. I think my brain and my body are getting confused, and therefore my heart suddenly starts racing because the heart's got a confused signal from the brain. And that wasn't listened to because he was a heart specialist and the brain is the brain and it's nothing to do with him. I basically had that kind of response from the different disciplines. Well, that's not my area. I'm only here to scan your hip. I'm only here to scan the bottom of your spine. Exactly. And that's the problem that we've got with the medical profession in the UK, especially. There is no mind and body holistic approach to anything. And also people tend to be in their silos and not really consider, because of their checklists and their targets that they've got to do and everything else. If you're sent for a scan on your lower spine, they're going to do a scan on your lower spine. And that's it. They don't consider looking anywhere else for any other cause. It is just purely that basis. And that, I think, more than anything, is the biggest issue of getting a diagnosis, especially here in the UK. There's also a lack of standardised testing for FND as well, because unlike other neurological conditions where you've got MRIs and blood tests, etc., that can confirm a diagnosis, it's basically you have to rely on someone who understands what FND is before you can get an FND diagnosis. And you can have all kinds of different symptoms that fall within the category of FND, but because there's no physical injury as such, or any psychological or any disease in the brain as such, they can't really recognize what's going on. And that comes back to the referral and treatment pathway as well, because if they don't know what's going on and you're being referred for different kinds of investigations and different kind of treatment paths, which is what happened to me, and then that treatment proves to be ineffective, then you start to get this kind of resistance then when you go back and say, look, this isn't working, there is something else going on, I need more tests, or it just doesn't happen, because they start to think, well, you're costing me money now because we're having this issue, trying to track down what the issue is. You can function best you can, just get on with it, or well, we've already ruled that out, we don't know what that is and we don't know what this. It's that kind of level of thinking where we just get stuck. FND people, sufferers, get stuck between categories, in effect, between silos. And that is what causes a lot of the delay in diagnoses. Another factor in this is that we as patients can poorly communicate what is going on with us as well. And this is the whole purpose of this podcast and the related documents I'm going to tell you about later. The whole purpose of this is to help you as the patient communicate much more effectively with your GP and with your, or when you get through to a consultant eventually, so that you can actually give them a comprehensive account of your symptoms, the cycle of symptoms, the potential causes, and you can actually ask then outright to be sent to a specialist in FND for diagnosis exploration, shall we say. It may well be you haven't got FND, but if you at least can rule it out, then you can concentrate on whatever else may be causing your symptoms. But if you have got it and you don't have to go through the 8 to 10 year cycle of getting a diagnosis, trust me, it makes everything so much easier. Now, I've mentioned some documentation. Now, some of the diagnostic tools that are available are pretty dry, really, for a podcast. So there will be a blog on my website, darreninform.com/ ThinkWorks blog, which will basically enable you to read about some of these. I've also got a little mini report, which will be available for you to request to be sent to you free of charge, and it will help you in your discussions with the medical profession, or help you just have a chat with people around you. If you're going through through some of these symptoms, or you know someone who's going through all those symptoms, print off the document I'll send you, or I'll get them to listen to this podcast, and then you've got a basis for a conversation with the people around you, and then you have the tools and the conversation framework to enable you to go to the GP and say, look, I've got all these symptoms, I've been reading up about this, I'd really like to be referred to a neurological expert who's got experience in dealing with FND. Now, I mentioned that it took 9 years or so to get a diagnosis of FND for myself, and that is not, sadly, uncommon. So what you need to understand is the quicker you can get a diagnosis, the better it is anyway, because the longer the FND is allowed to run its new neurological pathways, its scratches across your vinyl, the more ingrained they become, the harder it is to start to repair and divert those scratches back into a regular kind of play. It's really difficult. And once you do get a diagnosis, because there are only a couple of FND specialist teams throughout the UK, as an example, it can take years before you can get onto the proper treatment path. So it's essential that you learn about the condition the best you can, but there are things you can do to start to help manage your condition whilst you are waiting for the treatment. It's also important to understand there isn't one size fits all when it comes to treatment either. So options can include cognitive behavioral therapy, physiotherapy, medications for associated symptoms, combination of all the above, and many more different activities that you can do or be prescribed as well. But in the meantime, while you're waiting for that treatment path to begin, there are things that you can do to help minimize the effect of FND on your everyday life. And some of these activities that you can take part in are, you can include mindfulness techniques, you can do light physical exercising, you can engage in stress management strategies, and all those you'll find across my website and in my podcasts and tips on how to do all that. But there are plenty of material out there on the web anyway that you can get involved in. Make sure it's a reputable source. Don't go down any route of woo-woo magic stuff, because with this, you need to take a very methodical approach to how you mindfully set out to manage your condition. Now, there's a paradox within this, and I need to explain what I mean by that. You can mindfully set up strategies to help you cope with your symptoms, and mindfulness is a particularly good way of helping you relax and deal with negative thinking. But what you shouldn't do is mindfully concentrate on the condition or on the symptoms themselves. Because the more you concentrate on a symptom, the more that symptom becomes ingrained within the neurological pathways that have been formed in your brain. And therefore, it's much more difficult to start to overwrite those with more positive neural pathways. I hope I'm making sense on this. Again, go back to that record, the vinyl. You've got a scratch in it. Sometimes it's possible to reduce that scratch so the needle no longer jumps. It may click as it's playing, but it doesn't jump. And that's how you see the treatment. It can sometimes repair a neural pathway scratch enough so that the body still clicks. The brain-body communication may click, but it doesn't jump. Okay? So these are important. Or you can take the mote of dust that we're making the needle jump out. It will click when you're playing, but it doesn't jump anymore. Or doesn't stick anymore, shall we say, rather than jump. So it'll play, but it'll play with a click. So you can never fully undo FND, and it's important that you recognize that. But there are certainly ways that you can really start to undo several of the symptoms in particular, and ways that you can manage the condition so that you still have as normal a life and as productive a life as you want to have. You just have to learn within that to have little nuances that help you manage your life around some of those effects that F&D can have. And there are things you can read up on as well. I mean, just explore the whole relationship between the unconscious and subconscious mind and the physical symptoms that can be created within your body. It's a fascinating area of study, and it's especially relevant to functioning neurological disorders. I'll make sure that on the blog piece and the document that goes along with this podcast episode, I'll make sure that links to various resources are there for you to go and use. And as I say, the PDF that I've created will be available as well for you to do. And also the blog itself, my blog will have several helpful tips in there to help you manage the situation, shall we say. There are also several bodies that have been set up now, support groups that have been set up to help people with FND. Here in the UK and across the world, there's several big centres in America, but there's also several in Europe as well. And the blog piece will have the links to those for you to go and investigate some more around as well. And there is the one key thing, I guess, that I can really recommend is get that support, both in person and online, to help you recognize why you're having the symptoms that you're having and why you have developed the functioning neurological disorder that you're working with. It's all there. It's just a matter of just getting that information, communicating it with the medical profession, getting on the right diagnoses and then right treatment pathways, so you can start to, as quickly as possible, unravel the damage that the new neurological pathways in your brain are causing without even meaning to. As I say, this is why it's your brain betrays you. So to recap then, we've deep dived into what FND is. We've explored some of the psychological factors behind it. We've discussed the challenges in diagnosis. And we've looked at ways to manage the condition in the meantime. I really do heartily recommend you get into meditation. You get into just having simple ways to... I know everyone laughs when you say it, but you know feng shui, that kind of having your environment so that it enables a kind of flow of energies and concentration and thought processes. The more that you can manage the environment in which you live and exist so that is not stressful, that it does allow your brain time to relax, whether that's some spiritual new age music with some incense sticks burning or some oils burning. Even if you're like, oh, not this hippie stuff, give it a try. You may well be surprised about how much benefit that has, not only when we're dealing with the FND, but also just in your life generally, just helping you relax and de-stress and detoxify your thought processes and the manifestations that is having all the time in your nervous system, whether you're aware of it or not. Do take up the journaling example that I gave earlier on in the episode and go and listen to the journaling podcast episode that I did and get involved in doing that as well, because that will also be very therapeutic. It'll be very useful, and you can use the journal in the ways that I describe in the podcast episode to also enhance all aspects of your life. Trust me, beyond the journaling, the other encouragement I will give you is to basically seek out medical advice and tap into those support networks. In particular, the knowledge and support that you can get early on will make a huge difference. And the purpose of this is, if just one person listening to this podcast has thought to themselves, do you know what, I have some of those symptoms, or I'm going through something very similar, or I know someone is going through something similar, I'm going to take all this information, I'm going to use it. If just one person does that, then it has been completely worth my while to do this. I hope if you haven't got any of those conditions, I hope you've still found the discussion about how the brain works and its way that it can just work against you. I hope you found that interesting anyway, and it might even spur you on to doing some more research into that field. And above all else, get yourself a hardbound journal, regardless of where you are in your life or if you've got this condition or not. Just get a journal, capture your thoughts, capture your thought processes, capture your ideas, make your plans, capture everything in your journal, and keep that hardbound journal then, and just keep getting a new one. Never throw the old one away, put it on a bookshelf, because it's all there. You can track your progress over time. I've done more since I started consciously journaling, I've done more in, I would say, the last 3 years than I've done in the previous 20 years. And I've done more in the last 6 months than I've done in the last 10 years. So check out the blog. The link will be in the forum post that goes alongside this episode. Check out the other podcasts that I've done, especially the one on journaling. And I think next week I'm going to talk about designing your perfect day. And I think that'll be a good fun one to do. And then we can actually see how some of these episodes are now starting to quite nicely manage into that whole work-life balance thing that everyone talks about and very few of us manage to achieve. Thank you everyone for listening. Take care. And above all else, just keep thinking. Thinking is the hardest work there is. Henry Ford said that. And he also said, which is why so few people engage in it, you're not one of those people because you're listening to my podcast. Keep thinking, keep expanding your ideas, and let's just get together at some point in a proper discussion and work out how we can create a mastermind that is going to save the world. Now, wouldn't that be great? I'll see you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye for now.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at Darren Inform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to Think Works, the podcast for thinkers.